Here's Mike McIntosh to begin today's CNV program with this observation about the reliability of the Bible.
So don't get blown off by that old trick of the Bible this and the Bible that. Challenge the person that's the spokesperson for the devil and say, now, how many times did you read it through to get that point of view? Because if you read it through page to page, cover to cover, chapter and verse, just one time, you would see the thread from the beginning of creation till the new heaven and the new earth at the other end of the book, and you'd see it's all tied together with God's plan of salvation for the inhabitants of planet Earth.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of Chapter and Verse, where our teacher Mike McIntosh will continue our studies in the book of Romans. The ultimate goal of God is to help His children become more Christ-like. As we become more like Him, the mirages and lies of the world fade away, and we discover the people we were created to be. The process that is required to accomplish this great goal includes pressure and varying degrees of suffering. This spiritual reality cannot be changed or avoided, but our attitude and perspective can be. We have much to cover, so let's get right to it. Join with me, if you would, and turn in your Bibles to Romans as Mike begins our lesson for today.
We're in chapter 8 of the book of Romans, where we've been for a few weeks, and we'll be getting close to wrapping it up. It's just one of the most beautiful chapters in the entire Bible. Especially to remind us of how much God loves us and what He's given to us. Chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of, or the manifestation, some of your translations say, of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he can see? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because it makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Our Lord, we thank You for a time for us to sit down and listen to Your word and hear about Your plans for us and to see Your glory in all of creation. And one of the exciting things, Father, is that we get to sit down in a big room with a lot of other people that love you and believe in you and trust you. And seekers that don't know you, but they are on the path and they want to know you. And so, Father, we ask you to just very simply make your word simply understandable. That each of us would grasp a hold of something strong for each of our hearts, each of our lives. And as we've been building very slowly on this deep foundation, we ask as we come towards the end of the 8th chapter, that all the people that have stuck through chapter 6, 7, and 8 will just leap and bound from here on out as they get to chapter 9. And we thank you, Lord, that the Bible is a book that tells us not about religion, but about people that knew you and walked with you and talked with you, people that went through great suffering and trials and tribulations and you delivered them. Lord, people who struggled raising their families, people who struggled with making ends meet, and Lord, people struggling to know your will. So we thank you that it's not a religious book. We thank you it's about people. And of all the quote-unquote religions in the world, this is the one that tells every human being that you're alive, that you love them, and that you want to help them be a spiritual man or woman. So now take these verses and fill our hearts with heaven, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So verse 18, I'd like to break it down to seven words basically for you. And you can follow through any one of these words as I was looking at this and reading it several times through the last few weeks. I thought we'd just take a look for a moment and move on. But I wanted to point out these seven words that are really strong for us, and they all relate to us. And then on a bigger scale, as we go into the next set of verses, we realize there is a word that is used four times in four verses, and that it is a word that keeps the Bible out of public schools in America. Not in Great Britain, but in America. The Bible is not something that can be on a student's desk in some places, or they get in trouble. So let's look at these seven words. We looked in our message, our last message, that the Spirit in verse 16 bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. So now we know that we're godly people. Then we closed out with, and if we're children, we've been adopted to God's family and to his throne. If we are children, then we are heirs. So we, with an adoption, become heirs of all the wealth that God has. And then Paul said, if we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So he left off with that thought about suffering and how we gain access to the deeper things and the richer things of the Lord and of the scriptures and of walking in the Spirit here in San Diego or anywhere. But we're interested right about here. For I consider, and there's the first word of the seven I'd like you to take note of, I consider. He stops. He meditates. He thinks about it. And it's almost, he's asking us to consider. Don't just fly by, but consider. Because of all that God has shown us in this chapter about us being creatures on the inside that need to be fed spiritually, he wants us to know that we are adopted heirs to the throne of God. And everything that God's throne represents, he gave to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that verse I just read, if we're heirs of God, then we're joint heirs with Jesus. So later we'll see in this book that Paul says that God actually created the universe and all of creation for your good pleasure, for my good pleasure, for us to enjoy. But that right was stolen from us. And there was an angel that rebelled against God. And nobody really knows the exact time when that happened, but you can see that he was very jealous that God had made man in his image and after his likeness. And we know that through the form of a serpent, the word there is in the original language of a dragon, that he seduced verbally, mentally, the first woman, and he got the rights to planet Earth and all of her children, in a sense. And it took quite a while until Seth was born from Adam and Eve that man began to seek the Lord during his lifetime. So a revival came forward. So we know that all the worldly outlets to give information or propaganda is controlled in general by people that don't believe this book or the words of it. And I've always been astounded, especially if it's a intellectual or a pseudo-intellectual, that they will just vehemently rail against the Bible and the scriptures. And then when you just ask that one simple question, I know that you're a very important person. I know that you are a very well-known person. I know that you have a lot of authority. I am imagining that you have such an argument against what I live by that you've read it 100 times, 200 times, through 400 or 500 times. And they stop right there. You have read it 10 times? One time? They've never read it. So don't get blown off by that old trick of the Bible this and the Bible that. Challenge the person that's the spokesperson for the devil and say, now, how many times did you read it through to get that point of view? Because if you read it through page to page, cover to cover, chapter and verse, just one time, you would see the thread from the beginning of creation till the new heaven and the new earth at the other end of the book, and you'd see it's all tied together with God's plan of salvation for the inhabitants of planet Earth. So I'd like to leave that with you to consider. And he's asking here in verse 18, for I consider, in the second word, that the sufferings of this, the third word, present time, are, the fourth word is not worthy to be compared, the word compared is our fifth word, with the glory, the sixth word, which shall be revealed, which shall be, emphatically, it is going to be revealed in us. Whatever it is that God has, it's so glorious. It will be revealed in us. So before we go further, let us consider that life has pain and suffering in it. Now, how do we suffer? If we had a golden Buddha statue to worship every morning and to burn incense to, I'm sorry, but Mr. Buddha cannot talk to me or you. He's really left us nothing to put us on a path to eternal life. He's left us with some contemplation, meditation, and some vague concepts as he searched his own soul for the meaning and reality of life. Never once did he say he was God, which Jesus did. Never once did he say that he was the way to get to heaven, which Jesus did. Never once did he say he loved you so much that the Father sent him, but Jesus did. Never once did he say, I will die in your place so that you can live forever, even though Jesus did. And we can go on and on and on with all the world religions. But if you consider, we've all suffered. I don't know if you suffered when you're 3 years old or 33 or 103. We've all suffered. Your bicycle wheel came off when you're 9 years old and you're pedaling downhill. You suffered. That almost happened at our house one day. A boy that we lent a bike came down and he couldn't get the brakes to work. And he came down the hill, went right into our driveway and stopped himself in the garage door. Broken arm doing it. But he didn't understand the breaks, but he got a big break. I consider, we're going to stop and think about sufferings. And you could think right now about your suffering right now. It's been a joy to be praying with a member of the church staff who, her family has suffered with the financial downturn. And they are losing their house. And she and all of the people that work with her have been praying for over a year, and they have been so maligned and mistreated, and as many of you trying to get somebody to call you back, those people that answer those phone calls want to keep their job, so they lose your paper and they carry it on for a year, right? So this week they cut her mortgage almost $100,000 and took her interest down to 2% and gave her a smaller loan and longer term to pay off. Now, they were suffering, and the suffering has been a year or more. But when challenged and encouraged by her spiritual brothers and sisters, and she would take the suffering to God, his son knows all about suffering. And he himself knows what it's like to suffer watching a member of his family suffer. So there's no other religious leader, at least that I have studied, that ever tied in the pain of life to their ism at all whatsoever. So he says, let's slow down and take it for a moment and consider that sufferings, because he just got through saying, if indeed we suffer with Jesus, we'll also be glorified together with him. For I consider that the sufferings, plural, of this present time, that was our third word, present time, right now, here. Now think of this. They're in Rome. They're hated by the Roman government. The Christian community was really beaten up in the capital of the world. Ultimately, as the eras began to run down and more radical that the leaders of the Roman Empire became, entertainment was that the hearts had become so filthy and maligned from God and hardened that it took watching executions to be a sport, much like the rave book and movie Hunger Games, that people just could not get a higher thrill anymore. They had used all their thrill genes up or something, and so they had to do something bad in the stadiums, that they would bring a bear and loose him on a half a dozen Christians that were jailed for their faith, or bring lions in and let them fight with the lions. And when you consider this, that those were sufferings, he's talking to a group of people like yourselves, a group, that they knew what suffering was to have holy scriptures, or to pray in public, or to meet in public. And I've said it many times over the years, but one of the greatest honors bestowed upon me by the Lord was that during the reign of the communists throughout Eastern Europe, I was able to spend literally weeks in Eastern Europe behind the wall of East Berlin and West Berlin, but in many of the countries. And we memorized 2 weeks earlier and then burned it all in a garbage can in a park in Austria, all the names, telephone numbers, addresses for the next 5 weeks on this one trip, and what time we would meet in what country and what city, and it was kind of crazy to say the least. And people would meet us without ever talking to us. We'd be sitting in our VW van at a park, and all of a sudden somebody would pull up in a car in front of us and look at us and then honk their horn and start driving, and we'd start following them. Then we'd end up in an apartment or a house or a barn or an open field, and we'd get from 10 to 2 or 3, 400 people that had come from hundreds of miles because an American was coming with a Bible and was going to teach. Now, I don't think that you've ever had that suffering. I don't doubt that it'll come this way, but that is the suffering he's talking about here, more so than that they've got a pain in their low back or they stubbed their toe or they got a D on the exam. They really knew what suffering was because they suffered with Jesus. It was Jesus that was persecuted under Stalin and Brezhnev. I was there when Brezhnev was in charge of Russia. And yet, even in Russia, the people that knew the Lord would sacrifice everything to live for him. For I consider the sufferings of this present time right here in Rome, but the unique thing about the Bible is it's a book that has eternal time. So this present time right now, the sufferings that you may have, you can identify when it says that Jesus Christ suffered, And since you've been taught you're an heir of God, you're adopted because of what Jesus did into God the Father's kingdom, you will be a joint heir with Jesus Christ in everything for eternity. You'll have a complete access backstage pass to. Nobody will be able to stop you. You will actually be the judges that will be judging the fallen angels. And you will be a very unique person. You will be without sin. Probably still have your same personality, but it would be true intellect, not pseudo-intellect, and it would be a true heart of love and compassion. And nobody has to doubt anybody's word or handshake, because it's a whole new kingdom that is based on the love of God. And God will have us, if whatever it is, managing or administrating or everything that you have gifts for, using throughout his creation, which is bigger than just this solar system, galaxy, or this one universe that we know of. So he slows down and he considers the present time sufferings. These things that we're suffering, that people are really hurting over, that next word was not worthy. So there's worth to suffering in some people's eyes. You know some people that they drag on and on and on their suffering. I remember my mother always talked about the old people. And I thought she was old. You know, she was almost 92 years old. And we saw that her car was swiped on one side, on the right-hand side, big full body length deal. And so I said, "Philip, would you take Grandma's car over to the Buick dealer and whatever it is, you know, negotiate a good deal, but let's get it fixed for her." So we got it fixed for her. Next thing was that a man called me and said, "I live near your mother's home. She left a note on my car. Her car had swiped my car and knocked her rearview mirror off." I said, and his. And I said, "Really? Which side?" And he said, "Well, it's my left side, driver's, and her right side." I said, "That's where we just fixed the problem." So I suggested, "How long have you had your glasses?" "Oh, 15 years or something." "Oh, Mom, come on." So we went and got her eyes checked, and she had a cataract, and she couldn't see out of the right eye. So she was always hitting things on the right side. Not always, but sometimes I would find that she'd hit some things. I'm sure she got to the body shop earlier than me. But she was such a character. And so I said, "Mom, this doctor is one of the best in San Diego, and he's going to remove that cataract. And it'll take less than 10 minutes. You'll feel no pain. And I guarantee you, you'll be seeing super a week from now." And all those things came to pass. So they give you the big old people black glasses, you know, the ones I'm talking about. They're kind of plastic, and you see, they cover everything so light doesn't get in there. 3 days, that'd be about it. But my mom wore them for 3 weeks. And I'd go visit her every day, and I'd say, "Mom, that was a couple weeks ago when we got your eyes fixed." "Oh, no, I better keep them on." She was enjoying the attention that the glasses gave her from other people. I thought, okay. So some people, they do milk the suffering for all they can. So he slows down, considers the sufferings at this present time. So if you would just write one word down on a piece of paper right now, just one word for suffering, it's code word. If you drop this paper, your name's not on it, your Social Security's not on it, but a word is on it. And nobody would know what you're talking about. Just one word. And now let's think of two words. Suffering's going on right now. Demoted, promoted, lost this, found that. Sufferings. Health, in-laws, outlaws, family. Just one word. And you could see that you have learned on this planet to live with pressures every day.
Suffering is not the most pleasant topic, but we need to find a practical way to deal with this spiritual reality. We'll look forward to more practical instructions in our study of Romans on the next broadcast of Chapter and Verse. If you feel that a review of this lesson would be helpful to yourself, or maybe you have a friend that could benefit from listening to this series from Pastor Mike, you can listen to this study in its entirety, unedited for radio broadcast. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com, and click on the teaching link, and then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through Romans, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com. As we close our broadcast for today, I want to remind you that Chapter and Verse is heard each day on this radio station thanks to the financial gifts we receive from you, our listening audience. If you've been ministered to through this outreach, please consider making a financial gift. And of course, we very much appreciate you taking a moment to pray for us here at CNV Radio. You can write to us at Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California, 92193. That's Chapter and Verse, Post Office Box 231150, San Diego, California, 92193. You can also give online securely at MikeMacintosh.com. Be sure to join us next time on this station when Mike will be continuing his series through Romans. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.